It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 524. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. That's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. And also MikeNationNet. We have the wiki, and that is at mtswiki.com. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call, the best service for remote support. You can start providing remote support for all your customers today with Instant House Call. I have used it every day. I'm using it every day. I'm going to be using it tonight, right after the show, because I have to finish, and I'll be talking about this. This will be one of my stories tonight. I have to finish applying all the Windows updates, and I got to set the backup up, and there's a couple other things. I said, I'll remote in tonight. I put on Instant House Call, unattended mode, and I'm going to remote in. You can try it free for 15 days by going to instanthousecall.com. Enter the promo code MikeTechShow when you download it, and you can try it out for 15 days. Or you could just click the link on my website at miketechshow.com right on the left-hand side. And we thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of the show. I have a jam-packed show with lots of stories and a little stack of email that I want to get to. I'm going to be talking about lots of client issues and things that I've been working on the past couple weeks. And then I have a stack of email that's replying to a lot of the existing things out there. Let's get started with going the extra mile for a client. 2 weeks ago on a Sunday, I'm sitting here. And if you remembered last week, I talked about a Windows 8.1 update problem with one of my clients, and he came over the house on a Sunday for me to have him create his Microsoft account so we could get everything working. Well, waiting to hear what happened and what I received on Tuesday. This is really cool. In the middle of me working with my client here, I get a panic phone call from an attorney. That's one of my retainer clients, and he is working on a document that is so important, and he's been working on it for hours and hours, and he can't get to it. He knows he saved it. He said, I've clicked file save. He says, I was clicking file save every few minutes because it's such an important document. Mike, I can't find it anywhere. I said, let me remote in. I have him go to miketechshow.instanthousecall.com, the landing page. I remote in, and he describes how he opened the document. I looked at his recent items, and it wasn't there. How can that be? How can you save an item in Word and work on it and save it and it not be in the recent opened items? This is interesting. The file was zipped, and he never truly extracted it. So he copied it from a web-based email because he emailed it to himself. He then downloaded the zip. He just double-clicked, and Windows opened the zip file, and there was a document. He then double-clicked the document, Word opened, and that's where he was working. He did the right thing. he clicked file save, and it saved. The question is, where did it save it? Once he duplicated how he opened the document for me, I was able to look at the path where he was saving it, and I was able to find the document and move it to his documents folder so he was able to work on it. When you double-click a zip file, it unzips it, and if you're using Windows 7, it's going to go to your apps local, your users apps local temp directory. So there's a temporary directory that those files are unzipped, and he was working from that obscure path in a temporary directory, and every time he clicked file save, that's where it saved. So he thought he lost the document. It only took me a couple minutes. I seen what he was doing. I got the document, copied it back to his My Documents, and said, let's go in here and let's do a file save as. And I explained to him, the next time you open a document like that, click file save as and look at where you are, your target is for your destination of saving that file. And then you can save the file and it's not going to be a problem. He was so happy. Let's fast forward to last Friday. I get a phone call and a message from Omaha Steaks that says I'm going to be receiving a perishable shipment on Tuesday. And I was like, really? I was like, boy, I asked my wife. I said, did you order something from Omaha Steaks? No. So I was very curious. On Tuesday, there was this huge white box sitting at my door from UPS. And I opened it up, and there are filet mignons. It's unbelievable. This big box, and on the note, thank you so much, and my client's name. He didn't have to do that. That was so over and above, but what a nice way to say thank you. It was very cool. So we're going to have, you know, that's actually dinner Sunday night when you see, oh, I mean, it's more than one dinner, but I mean, there were pork chops, stuff, burgers, like I said, filet mignon, stuffed baked potatoes. There's a couple nights dinners there. And it was so cool receiving that from a client. And the reason I bring this up, because you want to treat your clients like they are the most important thing in the world when you're working on them. And when you do that, and I did that on a Sunday afternoon and helped my client, it saved him hours and hours and hours of possibly retyping that document. And he was just so beyond thankful. This is what he did. And I sent him a very nice thank you. That's the type of clients that you want to replicate. May I have 100 of him as clients. And I do have a large amount. Now, you hear me vent sometimes on the clients that aren't so good, because they're the ones that get me riled up and get me emotional that I talk about. But I thought you should hear some of the good stories and some of the good things that happen on just going the extra mile for a client, making sure that they are happy and they get what they're looking for and what they're supposed to have and what they want, and making them happy. And if you do that, it comes back. It really does. Now for a story on Monday, this media room, a design for a client, I decided that there was too many remotes and we need a universal remote. Now, I've had trouble, and I think I've talked about this once, maybe a year or so ago. I bought the Logitech Harmony One remote, and we couldn't even get past the stage of getting the firmware updated, and I was so frustrated on the phone that I said, you know what, they even said they were having a server problem, and it's going to be a few days, and someone will get back to me. And I said, a few days? I said, I'm going to have my refund by then. I said, I'm sending this back to Amazon. I don't know why, but I had my client get another one. I had my client get one. I said, they have to be better. As a matter of fact, someone I know who's a tech has gotten one for a couple of his clients, and he's had no issues getting them all programmed. So I decided to try this again. And on Monday, I have the, I want to make sure I say it right, the Logitech Harmony One Ultimate. And I'm following the instructions. You have to have a My Harmony account, and I create his account. I log in, and now it's got to do, after I pick all the devices there, I get all the model numbers, and I get the, you know, the Samsung TV, the Marantz receiver, the Verizon box, all the items. It's freezing again on the firmware. I said, I can't believe this. This is not happening again. I call tech support, and he's trying a few things. I give him the account information. He's looking at the account, and we're doing some stuff. We unhook everything. I reboot my system. I connect again, and it is freezing at the one point. At this particular point, it just keeps freezing. For the firmware, I said, you know, this is deja vu. I've had this happen over a year ago with another model. I said, you guys got to have a working product. How can they stay in business? How can they be selling these? It was very frustrating. To shorten the story up, I was getting to a frustration point where I was going to snap. It was building and building and building. And now I am losing my, I'm getting ready to really blast him, and I'm losing my temper. I catch myself right before that final moment of pulling the trigger, and I pull back, and I put a smile on my face, and I politely say, could you please escalate this to tier 2 support to help me? I would really appreciate that. And I could hear the chuckle almost, because he knew I was ready to kill him, and he knew he wasn't solving this, and it was the right thing to do. And I must have said it at the right moment, because there was, I could hear the smile on his face when he said, I'm going to do that, hold on. And I held on, and it took a few minutes, probably a few extra minutes, because he knew I needed to cool off, and I didn't mind that. I cool off. I finally get someone that is a little more helpful, and we get through the firmware, and it's on their end because they do something that allows me to continue. Then we run into another problem where I put in the zip code, and I'm supposed to get the favorites from all the Fios. That is another story. Again, it's their problem, but it wasn't a showstopper. And I was able to get through the point and be able to at least start programming. And we left it with a ticket open on those favorites coming through Verizon. Finally, about an hour or two later, after I programmed some of the functionality to like watch a movie, watch TV, so it turned on all the right devices and clicked on everything it needed to happen, where you would need 3 remotes to watch TV, which is insane. Once I got this all programmed, I decided to let's connect again to MyHarmony.com using this MyHarmony app that you have to download. I connected, and there were the favorites, and it updated and it synced, and I was happy. So the moral of the story here, it does work, but with some pain and suffering. So how much pain and suffering are you willing to put up with just to get this thing configured? So I wanted to share that, because be prepared for extra efforts and work on getting this thing started. But once you get past that, it is a wonderful universal remote. But you got to get past all that pain in getting it configured. Wi-Fi access points. We've been talking about that for a couple weeks. You're not going to believe this. In the area of this house, this is the same client, this never-ending house, but it's finally all being finished. They put these metal sheets on a door that I have an access point in the basement, because of the heater in the room, and they make it a fireproof door. And now, by doing that, it blocks the Wi-Fi signal. So I have a great idea. I take that router and I put it in the media room so it will work because there's nothing blocking that signal. And the owner was like, hey, man, that's a great idea. And he looked at me, he says, I like free solutions. And, you know, that was free, just picking that up and connecting it over there. So I do this on Monday morning when I'm over at the house and I'm working on this, the Logitech Harmony remote. Well, a few hours later, the environmental control guy, the guy that has all these controls for setting the temperatures and doing stuff that it communicates via Wi-Fi. Well, all of those devices are by the heater in this room. And since I've now moved the Wi-Fi router, guess what? They're going up and down. They can't get the signal properly. I have to add a fifth access point. That's insane. The house has so many areas that to cover the entire house, and it's a large house, multiple floors, lots of areas, like 8,000 square feet. And to cover everything, I had to place a total of 5 access points to cover the Wi-Fi. Now, remember, they're still wired all the way through all the rooms. We have Cat 6 wiring too. It's beautiful and it's working great. So I actually had to order a router. I did that Monday night. It came in yesterday. I programmed it last night. And this morning on my way to somewhere else, I was able to drop that off, get it started. Everything's fine. iPhone 6 Plus. Client has email with Sherweb, Exchange hosted services. He had an iPhone 5S. No problem. We got 13 users in the company. As a matter of fact, I'm a user. I have an account and I have my iPhone 6. Now, it's not a 6 Plus, but I still have my iPhone 6. And connecting to a hosted Exchange server using ActiveSync, or what they'll call the Exchange option when you're setting up an account, is a piece of cake. And if you have Auto Discover properly set up in your public DNS based on your provider's setup, it's a piece of cake. All you got to do is enter your email address and password. It sets up getting your email on whether, I don't care if it's an Android, if it's Outlook, or if it's your iPhone. It's a piece of cake getting that set up if you have hosted Exchange services. It won't work. He sets it up. He gets the checkboxes that he sets up. No joy. Frustrating him. He goes to the Verizon store. They're working on things. They said, oh, it's got to be your server. We know it's not the server. I'm getting email. Everybody's getting email from it. So it must be an Apple issue. Talks to Apple, spends hours with Apple. They remote into his desktop, connect via iTunes. They think they got it. There's a problem with the mail app when he synced with iTunes. They do something. Nothing. Can't believe it. I start doing some research and I find all sorts of things to try. One of the things I see is the options for partnerships. And you might reach a limit when you have too many partnerships. You could have a problem. You can only look at the partnerships via Outlook Web Access. You go into Outlook Web Access, you go to Settings, Options, Options All, and you take a look at phones. It will list all of the devices that you have a partnership with that Exchange server. Sherweb allows 3. Now, I don't know if that's a Microsoft limit, an Exchange 2010 limit, but there's 3 here that I'm dealing with. He only has 3, and one of them is the iPhone 6. I see also the 5S, and then I see his iPad. He's not over the limit. So maybe it's because he has Outlook and some other things connecting in. I delete the partnership with the 5S. Guess what? Mail starts working beautifully. I see all kinds of fixes out there. I see all kinds of things. So the reason why I'm mentioning this is it was instantaneous. It absolutely was a partnership issue with the Exchange server. So remember, you can control that via Outlook Web Access. You can look at the partnerships, delete one that's not necessary, and everything started working. I've been battling some bad hard drives with an Optiplex 790 with a client in my neighborhood. He called me last week, and I went over. He was having all kinds of slowdown issues, and especially around Outlook. Every time he would be in Outlook, he would crash. Sometimes he would get a blue screen. Sometimes he would just be so slow. I performed the diagnostics in the BIOS on the Dell Optiplex, and it failed the hard drive test. I ran Crystal Disk Info once we booted into Windows 7. It failed. So not red, but it was yellow, and there was a bunch of errors. There's definitely the hard drive's bad. Called Dell. He's under warranty. They're shipping the drive out. It was going to be arriving Monday, and it did arrive Monday, but because I was so tied up, I pushed it to Tuesday. Then we ran into some issues. It was taking too long to get everything set up, and he had a meeting, and he needed the system, and so we pushed it to today. Today, I put the new hard drive in, and I was starting to go through, and this is the problem with Dell. They have an imaged or non-imaged. And I've been through this once over a year ago, the imaged, but the imaged process. Now, here you go. It's already imaged and it's got Windows in it. And it still takes a couple hours before your operating system's ready. There's a ton of questions and things that it's got to do and stuff. I'm like, this is crazy. I can format and install Windows in 15 minutes with the media. I take his original media. I start to see this and that nothing's really changed and it's going to take a long time. I just stopped it. I said, let me shut this thing off. Put in his original reinstallation media, start it up, blew away the partitions, reinstalled. I had Windows installed with all the drivers going in under an hour. And now we're just restoring data from his backup and getting Outlook reconfigured and getting everything going. The reason why there's going to be a very short post show tonight is I'm fighting two things. One, I got to get up very, very early tomorrow morning, and I'm going to talk about that in a second, of the battle that I'm going to be walking into. Also, I need to reconnect with my client tonight because I got to remote in and kick off all the Windows updates. I also have to redefine the backup because I didn't get a chance because I left there so I could do this show tonight. And he understood. And it's very nice having a client that I got him up and running enough, allowing me to do my show tonight. And then I told him I would remote back in and take care of everything that was left on the list. And he had no problem with that. That's what I'm going to be doing tonight. And very nice. And Barry, I really appreciate you understanding. And he was very reasonable. And I was able to help him certainly get to the point where he's functioning. Printer set up, Outlook's, he's got all of his data files. So he's rocking and rolling. Everything's great. So now I just got to finish off the installation. But it's this is the third hard drive. So we've had two hard drive failures in a year. I noticed something when I was opening up his Optiplex, the amount of dust when we took this from under his desk. It was big clunks of dust. Took it out. We blew it out. Got all the dust out. There's not enough airflow under his desk. I think his system is overheating and he's killing the hard drives. So we're relocating the computer. We're going to bring it up to the top of the desk because he does have air conditioning and it's a regular, you know, it's a nice home office. You got to have good airflow. And especially on these small footprints, you need cold air has to come into the front of the unit. Then, you know, the hot air will blow out and it's got to have a place to go and rise and get away from the computer. Your system cannot be wrapped up like a mummy, put into a drawer, tucked away. You wouldn't believe some of the things that I've seen with systems. No wonder they blow up and burn up components. You gotta let them breathe. Treat them like a pet. Would you lock your cat or dog into a little area where they can't breathe? No. You gotta let your equipment have some air. Airflow has to has to happen. I believe airflow is the issue here, and that's why we're killing hard drives. So I'm not so quick to blame Dell as I was first. I was ready to, because once I've seen what's going on here with the system, just something else to be aware of. And the if you start to see the same problem happening over and over, okay, take a look at the environment, what's going on around the computer, and maybe just relocating it's going to be a big help. One of my biggest challenges here with this particular system was getting his email from his inbox, where he had a ton, he had 4 gigs of email. And every time I went to export, we would crash because the PST from his system was absolutely sitting on a corrupt area of the hard drive. And that's why everything was relating to Outlook and the problems. So some patience and some work, some evenings this week, remotely, I was able to extract all of his emails so he didn't really lose anything. Because we noticed on the backups, he uses SyncBack to back everything up file by file. It was failing, and he did not know this. Big lesson here. He's not a retainer client, so I am not watching his backups every night. Guess what? He's now a new retainer client. I'm going to be watching his backups every night, and because of that, he's going to buy Shadow Protect. I'm going to set it up to where it'll send me an email every single night, just like all of my retainer clients, and I will now be watching his backups, and we will never go more than 24 or 48 hours without rectifying a backup problem. So he's not going to lose anything. And we just wanted to tighten this up to make sure that he's getting better backups, because he went an awful long time with that PST failing. And had I been watching it, I would have seen that weeks earlier, and we wouldn't have had some of the issues that we ran into. Okay, few more things. Email phishing scam was received by one of my clients, and luckily they caught it, forwarded to me, and this was looked like it came from register.com. And it was addressed with her full name and had information, but the site and where they were being sent to was bad. It was to get their information. It's a scam, and it made me think of all of the phishing email scams that's going to happen for the holiday season. You want to have your antennas up to be ready for this for your clients and let them know to ignore and not open all of the fake FedEx, UPS, USPS, all of the different carriers that are delivering packages and letters. Do not fall prey to them. And this happens all the time during the holiday season. And it was a UPS scam that hit one of my clients way back when I talked about CryptoLocker. They were hit because it was actually an email that looked like it was from UPS, and it was CryptoLocker. Well, that brings up something that I want to let everybody know I'm going to be doing battle with tomorrow morning. A client of mine, his wife, her laptop got hit with CryptoWall 2.0. I have not done battle with that yet. I will report back on that next week. I've only done a little bit of research. I got to do a lot more tonight before I go into battle tomorrow morning. I'm not looking forward to this because I do not believe she has a backup of her files. Looking at probably having to redo the system, and I don't know what important files, if any, are on the laptop. I'm hoping there's no important files because it's going to be real bad. I'm going to report back on that on the next show. I have a client problem that I could use your help with before we go into emails. My client has a 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina running OS X Yosemite, so therefore he had to upgrade to the latest version of VMware Fusion. He's running VMware Fusion 7.0. He is running Windows 7, Windows 7 Professional underneath VMware Fusion. He wants to set a specific display resolution on his Windows 7. But every time he sets it, when he exits out and comes back in, it resets to the default settings. How can we fix the display settings in Windows 7 under VMware Fusion 7? Need your help. Anybody that has that specific info, I have not had a chance to research it. I'm throwing it out there. It's something I got to solve this weekend, and it would be nice to get an email with a solution or some ideas from someone. That would be greatly appreciated. Let's get through some emails here. This is from Mark Cobb. I just wanted to pass this note. Hopefully you'll get it before the show tonight. I ran across Palix twice this past week. The usual arsenal of removal tools did not detect it, except for AVG. AVG detected it, but was not able to remove it. ESET makes a removal tool that quickly and easily removed it. This is from Mark. Mark, thank you very, very much for that. This is Bradley. We need, and I know I have to go back to some old shows. What is the best programs for disinfecting a Mac? Give me free, give me paid, and can you make the boot disks on a PC? Or do you have to go to another Mac to create the boot disk? So this is from Bradley. And I told Bradley, hey, I will put it out there in the tonight's show. What are you recommending? What is the best programs out there for making sure we can clean the Mac? Because we're going to need those tools now because they're getting viruses and infections too. Thank you very much, Bradley, and we'll try to get you some good answers. This is from Dave, and this is a Windows 8 follow-up. Hi, Mike. This is a follow-up to my email from the other day regarding Windows 8 not activating the key after a refresh. Our intern spent 3 more hours on the phone between HP and Microsoft. Eventually, Microsoft said the current key was activated 130 times, and that is the reason it was locked. That's weird, you know, very strange. This was a year-old HP store-bought laptop from a client. Either it was hacked or someone from HP activated the same key too many times. I don't know. But eventually, HP gave us a new key, and all is now working. That's great. Good news. This is from Robert. I was listening to your last show about not being able to activate after doing a refresh. I have refreshed Windows 8 several times and have never had an issue with the key being activated. One of the things that he might try is checking the BIOS and make sure the secure boot is turned on. I've seen an issue with the Windows 8 not being able to activate on a system restore, but we were able to call Microsoft automated support and activate it. Another thing is, how was the refresh done? If you want to refresh a Windows 8 or restore a Windows 8 system, if you bring up the Charms menu and click on Power, then hold down the Shift key and click Restart, it will bring up the menu to allow you to go into troubleshooting and do a refresh from there. However, the system refresh usually has about a 50-50 chance of solving the problem and sometimes makes the problem worse. The bad thing about doing a refresh on a system restore is if you upgrade it to Windows 8.1 from Windows 8, you will be refreshed back to Windows 8. After doing some research online, this seems to be a problem for some. The answer is to buy another copy of 8 or 8.1 and reinstall it. Doesn't seem fair, but since when is Microsoft ever been fair to its customers? The only other option is to get in contact with HP and demand to talk to a supervisor and see what they can do. And as we heard, HP finally came through for him, so that was good. And it is really sad how badly HP has gone downhill over the years. I won't buy HP computers. I usually build my own anyway. And I won't buy HP printers anymore because I had problems with the last HP printer that I bought. Customers deserve better treatment than they are getting from HP and these other companies. What companies forget sometimes is that if consumers don't purchase their products, they will be out of business. Great show. Keep up the great work. This is Rob. Rob, thank you so much. And you are very, very true. The only way we can fight back as consumers is with our wallets. And we do not spend the money with the client, with those companies that do not treat us properly. And that's the only way. This is from Neil. Again, Windows 8 here. Here in San Antonio, I, too, had an issue reinstalling Windows 8. Boy, this doesn't give me great hope for any Windows 8 systems coming in that may have to be refreshed. This goes back to last November. Mine was an Asus. Sent in under warranty for failing motherboard. Took the Asus 3 weeks to return the laptop with the new motherboard. 7 days after return, having spent hours installing Office, Adobe CS5, etc., we get the notice this is not a valid copy of Windows 8. Try to activate? No luck. Contact Asus? No luck. Call Microsoft? Contact Microsoft? They say contact Asus. Take to Twitter and instantly get replies from Microsoft and Asus offering to help. Ah, social media to the rescue. They both suggested I wipe and reinstall from a recovery partition. Arguing my client just paid me $125 to set up this laptop, who is going to pay for redoing everything if I wipe it? No one offered. I did the wipe. After that, still would not activate. Back to Asus support, who now claim the laptop is out of warranty and will no longer offer free support. I explained that they just repaired it, and I want to send it back as a failed repair. No. Told them I would never recommend my customer buy Asus laptops because of their service, but it fell on deaf ears. Those employees you're talking to, they have no stake in the company. They don't care. The sad part, it was my 30-year-old daughter's laptop. She paid $104 for a new license from Microsoft. Unfortunately, that's what it looks like when you do a refresh and it doesn't activate. You got to pay, even though you paid for the license. When you bought the hardware, it looks like unless you get cooperation with the manufacturer, which is very unlikely, you're going to have to buy, if you're going to refresh, you're going to have to buy another license. That doesn't seem right. Too many emails on Windows 8. There's still a couple more. That's enough. This email is from Austin. Hi, Mike. In your latest podcast, you spoke about BlueStacks, which can run Android in Windows. But BlueStacks won't run if you don't have a supported graphics card. But there's another way. And he has a website here, android-x86.org/download. Download the latest version, which currently is Android 4.4 R1, and install it in VMware Player or any virtual software, and it works on x86 systems also. And it also works if you don't have a touchscreen or if you have an unsupported graphics card. That's awesome. And he said it also works with the Mac, so you can run Android on any device. Austin, thank you very much, and I'll have a link to that. This is from Steve. Hey, Mike, I haven't listened to the show in a while, but I used to chat and list under the name username Kins. Yes, how you doing? Anyway, I thought I'd ask you a question about the Shop at Home toolbar. My wife has it on her PC. It wasn't installed with her knowledge. I Googled it, and it's a PUP, potentially unwanted program. Some people say it is a virus. She has Malwarebytes Pro on her machine, and full scans don't detect it. I looked on the Malwarebytes forum and saw a rep from Shop at Home complaining or saying that the software is opt-in and not harmful. So I'm not sure where to go from here as far as removing it. I could just try to do it manually, but I didn't want to miss anything. I haven't seen a slowdown or anything that would indicate that it's actually a virus or spyware. Have you heard of it? Yes, I have. And do you have recommendations? Is Malwarebytes still the top anti-spyware program? So far, I think it is. Nobody has dethroned Malwarebytes yet. What I recommend is running JRT and Adware Cleaner. This is considered junkware, not malware. It's not a virus. It's just an unwanted program. And I would run JRT and then ADW Cleaner from bleepingcomputer.com. Run those. I'll have links in the show notes. And they should clean this up. This is more of just an unwanted program, and unwanted is in the eyes of the user. I hate the ask toolbar. Is there anybody out there that does? Clearly, some people like it, but I don't. So put yourself in the manufacturer software position. Should they remove the ask toolbar? Maybe, maybe not. Some people think it's good. Some people think it's bad. This is the problem that these programs are in. JRT, they're very clear. They're going to rip it out, whether you want it or not. So don't run JRT if you don't want to remove the junkware. And Adware Cleaner, you can actually check the boxes of what you want to run or to uninstall or not. I look at all toolbars as evil, and I want them all ripped off my system and removed. If you take that position, run them, it'll get rid of it. That was the last email for tonight. Want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. Please remember to use my Amazon link and share this Amazon link with everybody you know that's buying something from Amazon, especially the holiday season now. What better gift for a stocking stuffer? An Amazon gift card where they can buy anything they want from Amazon. What a great present. Use my link, amazon.mikenation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for using that link and supporting the show. I really appreciate it. That's it. I will be back next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.